Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Years ago, there was a movie titled What Women Want. I think the premise was somehow a guy gained the ability to hear the thoughts of women around him, so he always knew what they were thinking. He was the one man on the planet who really understood women. That storyline is interesting when you think about it in relationship to the Golden Rule. Matthew 7:12, Jesus said, "Therefore, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you." Jesus said to do to others what you want them to do to you, but what if that's not what they want? What if their preferences are so different from yours that the things that you want done to you are the last things they want done to them?
But any moment, in a pinch, when you have to decide, okay, how do I respond to this person? I don't have time to go ask advice and get counsel and do a big study. I just need to know how to respond. 99% of the time, if you just use the Golden Rule, you'll get the answer right. It's not that hard. You don't have to climb a mountain somewhere in Tibet and consult some guru to find out how to deal with people. Most of the time, Jesus just places it right on the bottom shelf, this principle. It's not complex or difficult. We know right off the top of our head how to deal with people. It's a very basic thing. It's very basic. However, there are some complexities to it. Just as we see numerous times in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus delivers in proverbial form. He gives kind of a proverb, and he doesn't line out all the exceptions and limitations and complexities of it, and that's what we find here. And there are some limitations. There are some complexities to it. For example, we know from the context here that Jesus is only talking about good things, right? When he says do to others what you want them to do to you, that only applies to good things. If you desire something evil, then obviously that the Golden Rule doesn't apply there. You know, when he said ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you'll find, that was all limited to good gifts, and I think this is limited too. So, you know, if you wish somebody would come and help you rob a bank, you don't say, well, I should help other bank robbers because that's what I wish people would do for me. That's not what it's talking about. It's only good things within the bounds of good desires. Another complexity of it, limitation of it, is you need to take into consideration people's preferences different when they're different than yours. So you don't really do to others the action that you want done to you. You do to others in the sense of taking into consideration their preferences. What I mean by that is, you know, you don't say, well, I would like my spouse to take me to a monster truck rally, so I'm going to take my wife to a monster truck rally, when in reality she'd rather go antiquing or something. No, you don't say, I'm going to do this, I would like this, so I'm going to do it to her. You say, what I would like is for someone to take my preferences into consideration, and therefore I'm going to take her preferences into consideration. And if I like the truck rally and she likes shopping, then we're going shopping. That's how you apply the Golden Rule, by taking into consideration preferences. And that's easy enough when it comes to monster truck rallies and antiquing, but sometimes it's not quite as obvious. For example, sometimes people have different personality types, and they like to handle things in different ways. And it's very easy for us to fall into thinking, the best way to handle it is the way I like handling it, so that's the way I'm going to deal with it with other people. For example, suppose you're the type where when you resolve a conflict, you like to resolve it by just laughing it off, and that's kind of the way you deal with stuff. Instead of having some big, long, uncomfortable heart-to-heart talk about how your feelings were hurt and everything else. If somebody hurts you and apologizes, you would prefer that they just say, hey, I'm sorry, and you say, oh, don't worry about it, and it is done. That's what you like. But you've got a brother in the church whose personality type is different, and he doesn't work that way. He can't resolve things that way. For him, there has to be this extended conversation so that he understands exactly what you're thinking, and you understand how he's feeling and what he's going through, and he's just the type that needs to process things by means of conversation. And so if you hurt a person like that, and you realize what you've done, and you come to apologize, what does the Golden Rule call you to do? It says, do unto others you would have them do unto you. What is the Golden Rule? The Golden Rule for you to say, well, if I was in his shoes, I would like him to just walk up to me, say, I'm sorry, then change the topic to sports. And so that's what I'll do. Now, the golden rule in that case says you go and approach him according to his preferences in the way that's comfortable for him. Within the bounds of what's good, you take into consideration preferences. And so in that, when you look at it that way, sometimes doing the golden rule is you do the exact opposite of what you would like someone to do to you. See that? Okay, so carrying out the golden rule then requires a knowledge of the person you're dealing with. You have to understand their preferences, which is why the golden rule tends to come so much more naturally to us when we're dealing with people who are a lot like us. But it's hard when they're not like us. Like if you're a mother of young children, it's very easy for you to be understanding and compassionate and all that toward another woman with young kids. Because you intuitively know her needs and you can sympathize with exactly what she's going through. You know how she feels, and it's relatively easy to treat her the way you would want to be treated. But the more difference there is between you and that other person, the more difficult this is. If it's not if you're a young mother and this other person is like a 75-year-old single man who's never been married from another culture, and it's going to take some doing to place yourself in his shoes so that you know how to apply the golden rule. And I wonder if this isn't one reason why people develop prejudices. You know, people from other cultures who are different in some way. Because you know intuitively, if he's a human being, he should be honored as such and treated as such. But that's a lot of work. That the golden rule would apply. And the whole golden rule is hard with somebody very different. So I'm just going to just write them all off as kind of subhuman. Everybody from that culture, they're just subhuman. I'll treat them like animals. And then I'm off the hook with the golden rule. Or in some case, maybe it's not prejudice, it's just neglect. You know, you're not against them. You just don't deal with them at all. You see somebody who's developmentally disabled or mentally handicapped or whatever, and they're acting in strange ways, and you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know how much they understand, and you don't know what to say around them or how to act around them, and so you just ignore them. The reason we're so prone to mistreat people that are different from us is because of laziness. The golden rule requires too much effort when they're different. Because you have to get an education of what they prefer and what they like. But Jesus' golden rule does not let us off the hook. It doesn't have an asterisk saying, well, only if the person's different, then don't worry about it. And understanding people who are very different from us really actually isn't all that hard. It's not as hard as we make it out to be. You know, the 75-year-old single man from another culture, however different they are, if you feel you can't relate to that person, or someone who's disabled, or somebody with a different skin color than you have, or whatever, let me just tell you what those people are like. Because I've been around a lot of people, and I've learned some stuff from them, so let me just tell you what they're like. Let me tell you what Asians, and black people, and Middle Eastern folks, and inner city types, and Democrats, you know, or Republicans, or whoever it is you can't understand, you can't relate to, teenagers, you know, whatever. Let me just tell you what these people are like. Here's what they're like. They're like you. They're just like you. They have strong desires and weak desires. They have fears and anxieties. They frequently come to wit's end and exasperation. They run out of strength and motivation, just like you. They long for fulfillment and happiness, and just like you, they have a tendency to seek fulfillment and happiness in earthly, temporal things rather than in the Lord, in things that always disappoint. They have guilt over their sin. They struggle with confusion and uncertainties about the future, and they agonize over hard decisions, just like you. And just like you, they don't enjoy being ignored. They don't like being treated like an animal. They don't like being dismissed or marginalized or looked down on or gossiped about or stared at or made fun of or laughed at or neglected. They don't like that. And just like you, they enjoy being loved. They like to be loved. They like being paid attention to in appropriate ways. And they like kindness. And they like smiles more than frowns. And they like being important in your eyes rather than being worthless. In your eyes, they're exactly like you. They're not that different.
Think about how you relate to the people around you, especially those who are the closest to you. Are there any areas where you think you're treating them well because you're doing the things you'd like people to do for you, but you haven't given careful thought to whether those are what they really want? Maybe you're expressing love in your love language instead of their language. Ask God to help you see if there's any ways in which you need to be more aware of their preferences where they differ from yours.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.